Shalom, welcome to SJTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Vanseir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harav Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, for the past couple of weeks we've been speaking to you about the upcoming Israeli Knesset elections, the elections for the Israeli parliament or the Knesset. The elections are going to be held on March 17th, which is a little bit more than 2.5 months from now. And we, of course, through our videos, are going to try to influence what happens in the elections. The choices we have are bad choices, but we, of course, want to do the best we can to influence things as best we can for the good of Israel and the Jewish people. And we've done videos, as you know, in the past couple of weeks in Hebrew, against various bad parties and corrupt politicians. Today, we've started our campaign, our official campaign, against the Shas party. We're going to begin a major campaign of numerous videos, God willing, exposing the Shas party and going after the Shas party. Why is the Shas party such a serious threat to Israel? Why are they such a terrible influence on what happens in Israel? Well, first of all, the Shas party is a party that claims to be representing the Mizrachim. The Mizrachim, or the Sfaradim, are the Jews that lived in Arab and Muslim countries. They're almost 50% of Israel's Jewish population. And traditionally, the Jews that came from Arab and Muslim countries are more religious and are more right-wing. They lived under the Arabs, they lived under the Muslims, so they don't like Muslims and they don't like Arabs. So they tend to be much more right-wing. In addition to that, Shas claims that it's a religious party. In fact, they claim that they're Haredim. The Haredim are supposed to be the very devout religious Jews. So Shas claims to be both religious and Sfaradi Mizrahi. Despite the fact that they're claiming to be part of those two right-wing camps that tend to be overwhelmingly right-wing, the party itself is an extreme left-wing party, and they're influencing Sephardic Mizrahi Jews and religious Jews to support left-wing policies. For instance, because of the Shas party, we had the Oslo agreements, the disastrous, catastrophic, murderous Oslo agreements that led to an unbelievable bloodbath in Israel. 1,800 Jews were massacred because of the Oslo agreements, and Jews are still being massacred to this day because of those evil agreements. Under those agreements, Israel invited the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat and 80,000 armed Arab Muslim Nazi terrorists into the land of Israel. And Israel began surrendering huge portions of her biblical homeland in Judea and Samaria, surrendered most of Gaza. Eventually with Gush Katif, with the expulsion in Gush Katif, all of Gaza was given away. But this all started with the Oslo process. And Oslo could never have happened without the Shas party. The Shas party was the balance of power that enabled the left-wing Rabin Peres government to enact Oslo. So this evil party that claims to be religious, that claims to be Sfaradi Mizrahi, in other words, representing the Jews from Arab and Muslim countries who are supposed to be patriotic, right-wing Jews that are against giving up land, this evil party, the Shas party, was the balance of power that enabled the Oslo agreements to take place. This is a party that also voted in favor of Shimon Peres, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, as president of Israel. Shimon Peres, one of the most evil Jews in Jewish history. This monster was one of the architects of the Oslo bloodbath. And is someone who always advocates on every issue the worst possible policies for Israel and the Jewish people. So this party is evil in every respect, the worst type of nightmare for the Jewish people. And in addition to that, we also have a personal gripe, because Chaim ben Pesach, yes, I was expelled from the land of Israel in 1996 when I tried to make Aliyah by an interior minister named Eli Suisa, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, who was from the Shas party, who was a close associate of the head of the Shas party, Aryeh Deri, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And so They expelled me from the land of Israel on the same day that they were meeting with PLO mass murderers, with Arab Muslim terrorist mass murderers whom they had welcomed and invited into the land of Israel. They were expelling me because they said, I'm a terrorist. I'm a terrorist because I damaged Soviet diplomatic property to help free and save our brothers and sisters behind the Iron Curtain. But the PLO Nazi terrorists who murdered thousands of innocent Jews, they were peacemakers. They are peace partners, according to the Shas Party. This party is an abomination. It is an abomination in every way. It is the antithesis of what Judaism is supposed to stand for. And yet they portray themselves as the most devout Jews. So they are a nightmare for the Jewish people. And many of the nightmarish things that have happened to the Jewish people in the past several decades have happened because of Shas. And again, the head of Shas is Aryeh Deri, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. He went to prison, by the way. He was sentenced to a prison term because he was accepting bribes and because he was corrupt. And he's just an outright crook, just a vile outright crook. Even his rabbi, his spiritual leader, Harav Ovadia Yosef, there was just a video release that we also did, by the way. We put it up on YouTube, a Hebrew video released, where Harav Ovadia says that Aryeh Deri is a crook, a liar, a thief, that Aryeh Deri accepted bribes. His own rabbi says this on this video that we've uploaded to YouTube. So this party is an abomination, and the party was very powerful because they said they represented the Sephardi Mizrahi Jews, who are almost 50% of Israeli Jews. Almost 50% of Israeli Jews come from a Mizrahi Sephardi background. And so they got a lot of votes from religious and even non-religious Mizrahi Sephardi Jews. At one point, out of 120 seats in the Israeli Knesset, there were 120 seats in the Knesset, Shas had 17 seats. 17 out of 120 seats. It's almost 15% of the Knesset. They became a very powerful, large party. Well, we've been fighting against them all these years. And just to show you how evil they are, by the way, Uri Avneri, Mashmo V'Zichro, who is an extreme leftist who favors the destruction of Israel, an extreme left-wing communist who offered to be a human shield for the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. He said that he ran to say if anybody tries to hurt Arafat, because there were people in Israel saying after Arafat was blowing buses up and murdering thousands of Jews, people in Israel were saying we should get rid of him, we should assassinate him, which of course Israel should have done. When that happened, when people were discussing the possibility of liquidating Yasser Arafat, Uri Avneri ran to Arafat's headquarters in Ramallah and said that he will be a human shield to protect Arafat. Uri Avneri, who has said that he's against Israel's very existence, he favors destroying Israel. I mean, how can you get more evil, extreme, and traitorous than that? He is good friends with Aryeh Deri, the leader of the Shas party. He's his good buddy for many years. And Uri Avneri actually said, and we released a video of him saying this, he actually said that Aryeh Deri is more of an extreme leftist than he is. So can you imagine this? Someone who calls himself religious and he's more of an extreme leftist than Uri Avneri, who calls for the destruction of Israel? And that becomes a big party in the Israeli Knesset? You can imagine what a nightmare this is. Well, anyway, we for many years have dreamed of getting revenge against Shas and defeating them and wrecking that party. We may actually, God willing, we may be on the verge of doing that. They had 17 seats at one time in the Knesset. They now have 11. And Eli Yishai, who was the former head of Shas, has broken away. Eli Yishai was one of the few people in Shas who did not agree with their policies of giving away land and supporting all of these insane policies. He's against giving up land, and he actually has supported the Jewish settlers and is actually, for a Shas guy, is not bad. Eli Yishai has broken away, formed his own party with right-wing Sephardic rabbis for a change. And according to the polls now, because of this breakaway and this split, the Shas party now is only getting 4 seats in the latest polls. The latest polls show them getting only 4 seats. 4 seats is the bare minimum you need to pass the threshold. You have a bare minimum threshold. If you want to get in the Knesset, you need to win at least 4 seats. It's 3.25%. 3.25% works out to 4 seats out of the 120 seats. According to the poll, Shas is just right there on the threshold, barely passing the threshold and getting 4 seats in the Knesset. If Shas has serious political problems at this point and they get one seat less, they'll be out. That'll be the end of them. They'll be out of the Knesset, at least in this election cycle. I mean, it would be devastating for the Shas movement if they didn't even pass the minimum threshold and didn't even get into the Knesset. It would be a shocking development after so many years that they had so much power. So it's something we would love to see. And so we just did a video now. We showed 8 minutes of Harav Ovadia Yosef, the spiritual leader of Shas, just giving it to Aryeh Deri, calling him a crook and a thief and a liar and someone who takes bribes. I mean, it's devastating, this video. And the video has been in the Israeli media. It's appeared all in the Israeli media. But we did a video. But we wanted to put the video up with our very strong commentary. And since we speak the language that the Sephardic Jews and the religious Jews in Israel will understand, and I don't just mean Hebrew. In other words, I personally come from that background and that culture. At least half of me, I'm at least half Sephardic, so I come from that background and that culture, and I understand the thinking. And so our videos can be very effective and devastating. So we started this campaign. We want to bring down Shas, and the good news is they had 17 seats. Now they have 11 seats in the current Knesset, and according to the polls, they're now getting 4 seats in the current, according to the polls now. I don't know what's going to happen on March 17th, but the latest polls show them getting 4 seats. And if they slip any further, they're going to be out of the Knesset altogether, God willing. And we're doing everything we can to push them out. And we've just begun a video campaign against them, God willing. If we get stronger and the more people we reach, maybe we can defeat Shas, defeat this party of Oslo, this party with so much Jewish blood on their hands, this party that brainwashes Sephardic Jews and tells them that we should give away the land and that the Arabs want peace and we have to surrender and we have to be traitors to the land of Israel. This vicious, evil party and this party that expelled me from Israel while welcoming Arafat. If we can get them out and defeat them, there would be a sigh of relief, at least in one area as far as the election is concerned. There are other terrible parties running, but because Shas says they're religious and because they're appealing to the Sephardi Mizrahi voters that are supposed to be right-wing and are convincing them to move to the left, they are especially dangerous, have always been especially dangerous, and we really have to defeat them, and we've begun a major campaign to defeat them, and we can be a big nightmare for them. We can be a big nightmare for that party. So we started our video campaign today. We just put out the first video. Actually, we've put out videos against them before, but now we're starting a consistent video campaign of really exposing them. And, you know, I haven't put the Hebrew videos for the past several weeks. I have not been putting the Hebrew videos on the English forum because I feel very few people on the English forum understand Hebrew. Those who do understand Hebrew, you can easily find our videos on our Hebrew main page and on our Hebrew forum. You can go to our Hebrew main page, you can go to our Hebrew forum, or you can go to our Hebrew Facebook page. Our Hebrew videos are there. But I don't want to take up our sticky threads with the Hebrew videos, which are all in the Hebrew language, when 95% of the people on our English forum don't understand Hebrew. But you can easily find the videos, and if you want to help spread the word on the videos. But I just wanted you to know what we're doing. Possibly, God willing, we may get some good news in the election as far as Shas. This is going to be an important development for Israel. We're going to do everything we can to bring Shas down, to defeat Shas, God willing. So it's just one out of many things we're doing. Of course, we're trying to influence the election in Israel. And from the real right, we're trying to influence the election and trying to bring down the most dangerous people. And we'll see if we can succeed. We don't have good choices. We do not have good choices in this election, but we're trying to take away the most dangerous of them all we're trying to defeat and trying to influence the process and educate the people of Israel. And I think that we're doing that to a substantial extent. Thousands of people see our videos, and it's thousands of, I'm talking about thousands of Israeli Jews. I think that has an influence. I mean, between YouTube and Facebook and our new news page and our forum, we've got thousands of Israeli Jewish voters that can see these videos and be influenced by them. So hopefully it'll make somewhat of a difference. The more people we reach, of course, the more of an impact we can have. So you're going to be hearing a lot from me about the elections until March 17th in Israel. And we're going to be doing a lot in that area. And I want to update our people, because I know most of our members in English, again in the English forum, don't understand Hebrew. So I want you to know what we are doing on Israel, what we're doing on the Israel front. And of course, as you know, as far as the United States and English language videos, you know that we're going to be very active in the presidential campaign. You know that we've already started. We did another Rand Paul video. I'm not going to go into the details about the three Rand Paul videos that we've done. Probably in about the past 10 days, we've done three videos against Rand Paul. I don't want to go into too much detail about the videos because you can easily see them. You can go to the forum and see them. I think they're excellent videos. I think they're very persuasive and very powerful. They're about Rand Paul and his alliances with Al Sharpton and the NAACP and the fact that Rand Paul played a role in inciting the murderers of these two police officers in New York City. That he was one of those people, just like Al Sharpton and Bill de Blasio. If you're going to blame Bill de Blasio and Al Sharpton, which you should also blame Rand Paul, because he was also involved in inciting blacks and telling them how the police and everybody are racist against them. So I think we're starting a campaign that can hurt Rand Paul, especially among Republican primary and caucus voters. We're going to be very involved with that as well. You know, what can I say? The more people we reach, the better it is. The stronger Israel will be, the better it is, the more our message gets across. A message that is uncompromising, a message that tells Jews not to give up land, a message that wants to bring Jews back to their heritage and their people, and wants Jews to be loyal to the land of Israel, and a message in English as well that is important for America and Israel. The more people we reach, the more good is being done in the world. And that's why we have to work together as a team to promote our English and Hebrew main pages and our forums. And we have to work together to do this. And so if you agree that this message is important, that everything you've heard is important, we have a chance here now to get rid of Shas, God willing, or at least bring them down, bring their representation in the Knesset so far down that they'll be less of an influence. If you agree this is important, and you agree that Shas and these other parties have done terrible damage, then help us. How do you help? You can, first of all, join and comment on our English main page. If you speak Hebrew, please also go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, and join and comment there. If you don't speak Hebrew, at least join and comment on our English main page. And, of course, publicize the page, publicize us, try to spread the word as much as possible. Most of all, most importantly, we need financial support. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to the post office box do make a difference, make a big difference. Every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a difference. And that's if you want to send it through the regular mail. Other people, for the sake of convenience, prefer to do it online. All you have to do is go to the donate button on the Hebrew main page. The donate button happens to be on the Hebrew main page on hayamin.org. You go to hayamin.org, our Hebrew main page, on top you'll see a button in English, donate, and very conveniently in several minutes you can help us. Every donation makes a difference. It really does. I think that we have a chance here to influence what's going to happen in the elections in 2.5 months in Israel. I think we can have an impact. I don't know if we're going to decide who the next prime minister is, but I think we can have an impact on parties like Shas. On a party like Shas, which is teetering on the, you know, right on the periphery of the threshold of getting of either passing to get enough seats to get in the Knesset or being out of the Knesset altogether, in a situation like that, we can have an influence because thousands of votes can make the difference in a situation like that. So I do think we can have an influence. I think we can finally eliminate some nasty stuff that's been going on in the Knesset and that has been very harmful to the Jewish people. And if you think that's important and you want that to happen, help us. Help us, join with us, let's work together as a team. All right, and God bless the great JTFers who are helping us. God bless you. God bless you. Now let's go to the questions from our great JTFers, which of course I always enjoy doing every week. And we start off with our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, Shalom Chaim, what do you think about the killing of two New York City police officers? Should Mayor de Blasio and Al Sharpton get the blame? Thanks, unquote. Well, as I said in my opening, I spoke briefly about it in my opening, Joe. Yes, I do think that absolutely Mayor de Blasio and Al Sharpton should be blamed, as should Rand Paul. The news media, Rand Paul, de Blasio, Sharpton, the NAACP, these groups are all responsible for the murder of those two New York City police officers. The blood of those police officers on the hands of all these beasts who've been inciting violence and who have been inciting the hatred in the vicious, burning, fanatic hatred among so many blacks in our society. And so, yes, they are responsible. Thank you, Joe. And we go now to our other great friend, Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, discuss which director was worse, Stanley Kubrick or Wes Craven, unquote. Well, I don't know if I'm pronouncing even Stanley Kubrick right. I know that we did a big article about him on our old JTF site, the site that we had, that old great site where we had all those great articles. Remember we had the great JTF site before we had a forum, the pre-forum days. We had a fantastic JTF webmaster who did fantastic articles for us. And he did a very big article about Stephen Kubrick and about, you know, about the terrible movies that he made and how he was, of course, an assimilated, intermarried, self-hating Jew, without an ounce of Jewishness in him. He lived his whole life just evil, making immoral, meaningless movies, and promoting self-hatred. Wes Craven is also an immoral, violent creator of horror films, especially films where he loves films where there's slashing in the films, where people are being slashed with knives. This is just a sick person, and these films are sick. Why would anybody want to see that? These are sick people. And these are mentally disturbed, twisted people. You ask me which is worse, Stanley Kubrick or Wes Craven. They're both terrible, but I would say Stanley Kubrick is worse because he's a self-hating Jew, and when a Jew does this type of thing, it's worse than when a Gentile does it, because the Jews are supposed to be God's people, and when they behave like this, it's much worse for the world. The impact is just far more disgraceful. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we go now to our great friend Mein Koran, who writes, and I quote, any affirmative action stories while traveling on a spaceship, unquote. Yes, actually, I was on a spaceship that was piloted by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You remember Louis Farrakhan said, there's a spaceship flying over the United States. It's called the Mothership. Now, NASA tries to cover this up so that we will not know about this. But Elijah Muhammad, the founder of the Nation of Islam, he created this spaceship, and he is the captain on the spaceship. As soon as Allah be given the signal, they're going to suck up the whole white race. This spaceship will suck up the entire white devil race. Anyway, so I happened to be kidnapped. They kidnapped me and they put me on one of these spaceships. And I saw Elijah Muhammad there and the Nation of Islam. It's all true. What Louis Farrakhan says is all true. I'm the first one to admit it. That's my affirmative action story on the spaceship. And by the way, I should say that Benjamin Yisrael gave me the idea of answering the question that way. He wrote to me and gave me that idea of answering your question. He saw your question and he wrote to me and gave me that idea. So I have to give Benjamin Yisrael credit for that. Mein Koran now writes, and I quote, is the most reliable news source the Huffington Post or Salon.com? Well, obviously, both of them are very left-wing sites. They're completely unreliable, filthy sites, and I think it's obvious you're being, you know, you're being facetious and correctly so. They're both terrible sites, of course, filled with lies and the usual left-wing distortion you get from MSNBC or the New York Nazi Times or the Washington Nazi Post or any of the other left-wing media. Complete lies and filth and completely unreliable, obviously. Thank you, Mein Koran. And we go now to the great Lewinsky stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who writes, and I quote, Elizabeth Warren as Gog, unquote. Well, if she's elected president, if she runs against Hillary Clinton, by the way, I think she could potentially defeat Hillary Clinton. I know that everybody says Hillary Clinton is certain to win. She's so far ahead in the polls, it's hopeless, there's no question. I think that if Elizabeth Warren decides to run, she possibly could beat Hillary Clinton. I really think so. Because the left of the Democrat Party and the news media love Elizabeth Warren. So, could she be Gog? You mean Magog? Could she be Magog? Gog is the nation. Magog is the leader of the nation that organizes a world coalition against Israel, all the nations of the world to go against Israel. If she's elected president of the United States, it's always possible. The president of the United States could be the person leading that world coalition against Israel. Obama certainly is trying to do that. It's always possible. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. Although this will literally be a war. I mean, they will literally want to lead a war against Israel. That's what the prophecy says, that day will come. That the nations of the world will want to militarily intervene against Israel and will all unite against Israel. The fact that they're all united against Israel right now, but we're talking about getting to a point where all the nations will send their armies to the Middle East and try to militarily confront Israel. So anyone who's elected president could potentially fit that role, could potentially be that person. Of course, that's assuming that the United States will be leading that international coalition against Israel. Who knows? Who knows? If this happens in another 100 years, which could also happen, we don't know when this is going to happen. We know that the time is getting short, but that means it could be another couple of 100 years. It could be, you know, it could be another 50 years. It could be another couple of 100 years. It could be another 5 years. We don't know. But if it's another 100 years, I'm not at all confident that the United States is going to be a superpower in 100 years. Not at all. Right now, things don't look good for the United States. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, are hobbits real? I don't know if I'm pronouncing hobbits right, but those are the fictional little creatures you mean in the novels? No, of course they're not real. No, of course not. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, is Shabak persecuting right-wing Jews outside Israel, unquote. I don't know if it's Shabak, because Shabak is sort of internal, is the internal Israeli police, the Israeli internal police. But certainly the Israeli government does work to persecute right-wing Jews outside of Israel. They intervene against right-wing Jews outside of Israel. Yes. They do. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, what percent of Israel likes Putin? Unquote. And of course, it's a reference to the Russian dictator Vladimir Putin. I think a lot of Israelis admire Putin because they think he's a strong leader. I think that's terrible. I mean, sometimes he can be a strong leader, but, you know, you admire someone who's evil? No, I don't admire him. He's evil. He's immoral. I do wish that we had Jewish leaders who acted more like him than the way they're acting. Yes, that's true. I wish Pepe would act like Putin, Pepe Bibi, you know, and defend Israeli interests. But But if you're asking how many people actually like this evil person, that's a reasonable percentage of Israelis probably do, just like you have Americans who like him because they also admire him because he's strong. There are certain people who admire strong leaders, and they don't care if the leader's evil as long as he's strong, which is wrong, of course. We should have... I'm all in favor of strong leaders, but leaders should be righteous, and Putin is evil. Lewinsky thinks now writes, talk about Justin Amash and Mike Lee, unquote. Well, Justin Amash is a congressman from Michigan and a Ron Paul supporter, so he's a Jew hater. He's a libertarian Jew hater. He's a Muslim lover. And he's an evil, bad person, a very bad influence on the political process because he's a libertarian Ron Paul zombie. And so his influence and his impact is a negative influence. Mike Lee, on the other hand, I like Mike Lee. I think Mike Lee is a good guy. He's a senator from Utah. He's a Ted Cruz ally. So you know how much I like Ted Cruz. So he's an ally of Ted Cruz. And I think he's a pretty good senator. I think overall he's a pretty good senator. Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to the great Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, Muslim lovers Ruth Lambden and Vardit Rispler are the reasons why so many Jewish men marry Muslims. They both write that Sharia law is more favorable to women than halakha, and how medieval Mizrahi Jewish women prefer to go to Sharia courts because Jewish courts discriminate against women, unquote. Yeah. The separation between Jews and Muslims in the Muslim world was so extreme, and the Jews were so mistreated in the Muslim world, and there was such an extreme sense of separation and dehimi status. The idea that Jewish women would run to a Sharia court. You know, these two animals, whatever they're writing, I mean, I don't know if that's the reason. I think there are many reasons why Jewish women marry Muslims. Of course, some of it is rebellion against their parents. It's the same reason why white girls marry black men. You know, some of it is rebellion. Some of it is because they're actually persuaded that black men are macho and that Muslim men are macho and Arab men are macho. I mean, this is that they're real men. Some of them really fall for that. And that's what their interest is. And of course, these men, in the end, beat them, rape them, persecute them, torture them, and treat them like dogs or worse than dogs. So, and that is the majority of Muslim men behave like that toward their wives. Their wives are treated like cattle. Almost all Muslim women in Egypt have their clitorises sliced off violently when they're little girls. This religion is monstrous toward women. Monstrous. I don't think you can find a more woman-hating religion in the world than Islam. And you can't find a more pro-woman religion that more respects women than Judaism. Anyway, thank you, Smash Islam. And we go now to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, one, do you have an affirmative action story from a taxi ride? You know, actually, I do. In fact, a number of them, but one that comes to mind right away is in Washington. Not that I take a lot of taxis. I do not use taxis a lot because I can't afford to. I can't afford to go around traveling in taxis. But when I'm out of town and I don't have, you know, I'm out of town and I have to go from place to place, sometimes I had no choice. There were times when I had no choice. I remember in 1973. I was 16 years old. This is in 1973, and I was with some other JDL people. We were in Washington to protest Soviet dictator Brezhnev's visit, in order to free our brothers and sisters in the Soviet Union. Brezhnev, the Soviet dictator, was coming to visit the United States, to visit Richard Nixon. And we went to Washington, D.C., and we had to go, so we had to be somewhere. So we took a taxi. and the taxi driver was black, and he was going the wrong way, and he was trying to take us for a ride, really take us for a ride, in other words, to rip us off. You know, he was saying, this is the way we go. I know. I lives in Washington, D.C. my whole life. I know what I be told. I know what I be doing. I know what I be doing. You know, you telling me how to go in D.C.? You know, he was trying to rip us off. So I refused to pay him. I said, you know, I said, you're taking us the wrong way. And, you know, you took us the wrong way. And we're going to be late because of you. And, you know, I'm not going to pay you. So he flagged down a police officer to come over. And we said he deliberately took us the wrong way. He's used foul language and threats and other things, which we don't give into. We don't give into threats. And, this is a dispute that has to be settled, but I'm not gonna pay somebody who didn't do what he was supposed to do, did not perform the service he was supposed to perform, and instead did the opposite, took us in the wrong direction altogether. I'm not gonna pay somebody for that. You know, and the police officer went along, you know, said, well, you'll have to settle this in court if you want, you'll have to take the information and so on. Anyway, in the end, we just left the cab. And that was it. And, you know, but he tried to rip us off. And now Binyamin Yisrael writes, and I quote, and we actually had plenty of time to get to where we want to go. So we actually made it on time, even though this guy took us in the wrong direction, but we potentially could have been late because of him. Binyamin Yisrael writes now, too, did you ever go to Baltimore? What do you think of the city? Any affirmative action stories of the city? Unquote. I have been to Baltimore. I don't like Baltimore because of the... I mean, there was a Jewish section of Baltimore that I did like. That was sort of nice when I was a kid. I went there a couple of times with my family. So there was a Jewish section that wasn't bad. And there still is actually a Jewish section, religious Jews, the Orthodox Jewish section of Baltimore. I don't remember any affirmative action stories, but generally speaking, I don't like the city because the city is, I don't like the demographic composition of the city. So I hope people understand what that means. And the demographic composition of the city turns me off. Thank you, Binyamin Yisrael. And we go now to Aluf Habir, who has actually been banned. Because I think he's Chaim Jr. But he's been banned, and he writes. He asked me if I've been in touch with Yitzhak Ben Shlomo and Sarah Batzvi recently. The answer is no. I have not been in touch with them. I just think it's an interesting question, even though he's been banned. No, I have not been in touch with them recently because, unfortunately, I just haven't. I have not spoken to them in years. I'd like to speak to them. I'm very fond of both of them. I'd like to speak to them, but I just have not. I haven't been able to make contact with them. I've tried, but I haven't been able to. Their telephone numbers have changed and their addresses have changed, and I haven't been able to find them. And I'd like to make contact with them, and certainly I'd like to speak to them, but it's been a long time. And we go now to the great Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I just discovered a group calling themselves Jews for Racial and Economic Justice, more self-hating Jews, unquote. Yeah, all of these groups, these left-wing groups with these names, Racial and Economic Justice. What does Racial and Economic Justice mean? Handing over the whole country to the blacks and Arabs and Muslims and killing the Jewish people and destroying Israel and destroying the Jewish people. That's justice. That's justice. And these self-hating Jews want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy their own people. They side with the enemies of their own people. Absolutely. It's the sickest situation it's beyond what you can imagine in terms of how sick it is. Just beyond what anybody can imagine. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to the great righteous Indian Gentile, who writes, and I quote, why was the policy of extermination chosen instead of deportation by Nazis? Did the Grand Mufti play a role in this? Unquote. The Grand Mufti might have played a role, but initially the Germans wanted to deport the Jews from Europe, just get them out of the way, in order to win the war. Their first goal, because the Germans thought they were actually going to win the war, so they were willing to just deport the Jews, but the nations of the world didn't want to accept the Jews, refused to accept the Jews, and the Jewish leaders betrayed the Jews. They didn't help the Jews get out. If the Jewish leaders had started a real campaign to demand that people nations open their doors to save the Jews, especially in the land of Israel, the British were controlling the land of Israel. The British Nazis wouldn't let the Jews escape and survive, the whole Holocaust could have been prevented if the British Nazis had allowed the Jews to go to the land of Israel. But they deliberately closed the doors. They sealed the fate of millions of Jews when they did that. And the Jewish leaders betrayed the Jews. The Jewish leaders were supporting the British, supporting their enemies as usual. Instead of saying, what the hell is this? Why aren't you allowing the Jews out now? They're facing the extermination. So when the Germans saw that they couldn't deport the Jews, they couldn't get them out of the way because the nations of the world didn't want to accept them, and their exit from Europe was being blocked everywhere. When they saw that, they started an extermination program. They always planned to, even if they had deported the Jews, even if they had succeeded in deporting the Jews, their plan was always to murder the Jews in the end. Their plan was that they were going to conquer the whole world. And once they conquer the whole world, they plan to exterminate the Jews. But of course, that was never going to happen. They were never going to be able to conquer the world because God wasn't going to allow them to do that. Thank you, righteous Indian Gentile. And we go now to the great paper cut, who writes, and I quote, Chaim, should Jews be visiting Chinese restaurants on Christmas? Should they go to the movies? Unquote. I don't think Jews should be visiting Chinese restaurants if they're not kosher any time of the year. Now, there are kosher Chinese restaurants in New York. There are a couple of kosher Chinese restaurants. If the restaurant is kosher and Jew wants to go to the restaurant, there's nothing wrong with that. But if the restaurant is not kosher, they shouldn't be going to a Chinese restaurant or any other restaurant that's not kosher any time of the year. That's just my opinion. As far as is there something special about going on the Christian holiday? I don't know. I don't know what the connection would be. I don't know. You mean that they're in effect celebrating by going to the restaurant? I don't. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I've seen Jews doing all types of things. Maybe they are doing that. Jews are not allowed to celebrate Christmas. They're not allowed to celebrate holidays of other religions. It's not permitted. And I don't want to offend any of our Christian members, but we are not allowed to celebrate any holidays that are not part of the Jewish faith. Any religious holidays of other religions. I'm talking about religious holidays. As far as going to the movies, I don't know why anybody would want to go to the movies. The movies are so horrible and so dirty and so violent and so disgusting and so obscene. I never go to the movies. I never go. I'm not interested in the movies. Maybe there's a rare exception every now and then. It's possible that someone does a good movie that there's a rare exception. Maybe. But I think generally speaking, we should be boycotting Hollywood. I think we should boycott Hollywood, Jews and Gentiles. I mean, I really believe that Hollywood is a source of evil that should be boycotted. That's my opinion. Thank you, Paper Cut. And we go now to PMN, who writes, and I quote, abortion is credited with reducing crime as it had eliminated primarily black and Hispanic babies. Is it immoral to be happy just with the outcome, unquote? Well, I mean, obviously, if evil people are aborting their babies, for instance, if Arabs or Muslims would abort their babies, I I don't want Arabs and Muslims and evil people to have babies. I don't want them to have babies because I know what those babies, I know 99% of the cases, I know what those babies are going to grow up to be. However, in Israel alone, and Israel's a small country, in Israel alone, 3 or 4 million Jewish babies have been murdered with abortions. 3 or 4 million in tiny Israel since the founding of the state. Imagine if 3 or 4 million more Jews had been born. So instead of 6 million Jews, you had 9 or 10 million. And not only that, those Jews, it wouldn't just be that, because those Jews would have gotten married and had, and they would have had children. You would have had, you would have today double the population. You'd probably have like 12 million Jews, double the population in Israel today, if not for abortion. That's among Jews. I am not willing to pay the price of Jews and righteous Gentiles aborting their babies just so that evil people will also do it. Yes, evil people, I am not concerned about evil people aborting their babies. I don't want evil people to have babies. But I don't want to pay the price. I'm not willing to pay the price of having righteous Gentiles and righteous Jews abort their babies. If you make abortion legal, then righteous people, unfortunately, there are people who are decent people who stupidly, for whatever stupid reason, will have abortions, and it is terrible. It's a terrible crime to have an abortion. But you have people, for whatever reason, who do these things. I don't want them to do these things. Because millions of babies that should not have been aborted, that would have been good for the world if they had come into the world, had been murdered by this practice. Just in Israel, several million. And in the United States, millions of babies that could have been born to decent families in rural America and evangelical areas and the Bible Belt and other places, who would have been good, God-fearing people. I mean, because of legalized abortion, a lot of those people murdered their babies. So that's why I am pro-life, and that's why I want to outlaw abortion. And we go now to the great EB22, who writes, and I quote, "What is your opinion of writer-author Ruthie Bloom, who seems to be pro-Israel," unquote. I don't know much about her. I haven't read what she's written, so I can't comment on her personally. Except for the fact that she lives in Har Adar. Har Adar is part of Judea and Samaria. So that's pretty good. She made Aliyah. She was an American Jewish woman. She made Aliyah. She moved to Israel and actually moved to Judea and Samaria, to Har Adar. So, that's pretty good. That's something that I respect. But I don't like her father. I didn't like her father, Norman Potterhurst. Potterhurst. I don't know how to pronounce it. Norman Potterhurst, who was the head of the commentary magazine from the American Jewish Committee. Terrible establishment guy, a horrible establishment guy. I didn't like him at all. And her husband. Her husband's the editor-in-chief of the Israel Broadcasting Authority, which is part of the Israeli news, which deals with the Israeli news media. He's the editor-in-chief. That's not good. So, even though he says he's a patriotic Israeli and so on and so forth, but he's working with an establishment group like that. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with that whole situation that she's surrounded with, even though I don't know her personally. Maybe she herself is actually a good person, even though she has some bad family connections. Maybe she's a good person, so I just don't know enough to say. Thank you, EB. And we go to our great friend Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, "According to official historians, Gorbachev was an enlightened politician who gave to the Eastern Bloc liberty and freedom, your opinion," unquote. Oh, that's utterly ridiculous. Gorbachev was a murderous communist tyrant who wanted a communist dictatorship in the Soviet Union, wanted to preserve communism, but just couldn't. It collapsed. And the economy just collapsed. Everything collapsed all around him. Things are collapsing right now for Putin, by the way. I don't know what's going to happen in Russia. But Gorbachev's economy collapsed. It just fell apart. He didn't want to give away anything. He wanted the communist regime, and he's still a communist to this day. He never changed. He's an evil, vile individual. And he did not give liberty or freedom to anybody. He had no choice. He had no choice. And by the way, to this day, Russia's not free, or Russia doesn't have freedom or liberty to this day. Russia never got freedom or liberty. Thank you, Da Vinci. And now we go to our new friend, South Korean Zionist. Welcome to our forum, South Korean Zionist, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. South Korean military wants to buy Iron Dome with Israel to protect against China and North Korea, unquote. I think Israel should trade with South Korea militarily. I think that Israel can become militarily independent if Israel has deals with countries like India and South Korea and other countries. I think absolutely. Israel should do these things. The problem is the United States, Barack Hussein Obama and John Kerry, they prevent Israel because Israel gets so-called foreign aid. The United States has veto power over whom Israel can sell things to. And the United States blocks many of these deals. So that's the problem. If Israel doesn't produce all of her own military equipment, if it's not 100% produced in Israel, Israel has to get permission from the United States to sell it. So Israel should not get foreign aid from the United States, and Israel should produce all of her own equipment herself, and then she'll be able to make billions of dollars worth of sales every year to countries like India and like South Korea. Absolutely, they should do this. And it's definitely in the interest of the Jewish people to help South Korea against North Korea. North Korea is a danger to every sane and civilized person in the world. It's a nuclear power with a lunatic, with a madman in charge. Okay, now South Korean Zionist writes, and I quote, also comment on North Korean labor death camps, unquote. This monster, the monstrous regime in North Korea, the monster who is now the dictator and his father, are responsible for murdering probably 2 million Koreans since the 1950s. They're just brutal mass murderers. And the only way they stay in power, the only way this regime stays in power, is because China supports them. China and Russia support North Korea. So that's the real source of the problem there. We have to pressure China and Russia to cut this off. If China and Russia would cut them off, the regime would fall in 24 hours. It would be the end of that regime. That's the source of the problem. Thank you. And of course, there are labor and death camps, and they torture people and commit the worst and most brutal Nazi atrocity. Literally Nazi. It's a Nazi regime. It's literally a Nazi regime, and they slaughter millions of their own. They've slaughtered millions of their own people. It's unbelievable barbarism. Thank you, South Korean Zionist. And we go now to the great Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, do you believe that after World War II, the U.S. was too lenient on Japan and Germany, unquote? Oh, that's the understatement of the century, that the U.S. was too lenient. Of course they were. Of course they were, especially on Germany. Japan also, but especially on Germany. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's terrible what took place. And the United States is paying a big price for it. Because Germany, through the European Union, pursues policies that hurt the United States. And that have hurt the United States for decades. So, and it's eventually going to become a threat to the United States. Economically and technologically, at least. Thank you, Maimonides. And now we go to the great Tag Mechir Tzedek, who writes, and I quote, anyone you will be supporting, elections, Israel, at least the worst candidates. Okay, let's start with that. Well, I don't know if we're going to be supporting anybody. I don't know yet. I did say that in the Likud primary, not in the election itself on March 17th, but in the Likud primary, I thought people should vote for Moshe Feiglin. Even though I have major doubts about his candidacy, I don't like some of the things he's met with homosexuals, for instance. There's some things he did that I'm uncomfortable with. But, you know, he does advocate giving compensation to the Arabs to leave Israel. He does say that Israel should liberate Judea, Samaria, and Gaza in its entirety, that it's all part of the land of Israel because God gave us this land. And he's leading the campaign on the Temple Mount on Har HaBayit to restore Jewish rights on Har HaBayit. So, you know, he's done some good things. And but there are also some problems with him. There's no question about it. But in the March 17th, in the general election on March 17th, that's just the primary in the Likud, which is being held actually in a couple of days from now on December 31st. But in the actual election, the general election on March 17th, I don't know if we're going to be supporting anybody. I know we're going to be opposing certain people. We're going to be vigorously opposing. And I mentioned in my opening Tag Mechir that we have a major campaign against Shas, for instance. So there are going to be certain parties that we're going to be vigorously opposing, Lieberman and Yisrael Beiteinu, which means Israel is our home, that evil, corrupt party we're going to be vigorously opposing. So there's certain left-wing, really vicious and dangerous parties that sometimes pose as religious or pose as nationalistic, and they're really left-wing traitor scum. Those people we're going to be trying to expose as best we can. And we do it with videos, and thousands of voters are reached by it with our videos. So I do think we have some influence. I think we have some impact. Is it enough to really change things? I don't know. That's hard to say. It depends. I mean, we might marginally be able to change something like, you know, get one seat from this to take one seat away from one person, give it to another party. Is that enough to really make a big change? I don't know. It's hard to say. But we have to try. We have to try our best. Tag Mechir Tzedek now writes, imagine a leftist and Arab-run Knesset, they can abolish the law of return, unquote. Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're opposed to Naftali Bennett. I know you like him, but I think he is absolutely terrible. He said 99.9% of the Arabs are loyal to Israel, when in fact it's the opposite. He also, he's just a liar and a demagogue. And he wants to give tens of thousands of additional Arabs Israeli citizenship. And he wants to surrender at least 50% of Judea and Samaria, and says that Gaza is no longer, we're not interested in returning to Gaza. Gaza, we've given up on Gaza. You know, this is not what a religious Jew or a Jew who believes in the land of Israel would be saying. Those are all parts of the land of Israel that he's just surrendering. He's decided we're giving it up. That's it. And he, by the way, is giving the Negev over to the Bedouin. And he sat in a government that froze Jewish building and that is creating a Palestinian state. Even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, which, by the way, he would never say. He says there are Palestinians and there is, and you know, he says the opposite of what a Jewish leader should say. So, I mean, there are certain leaders that are just bad and parties that are bad because they claim to be, the worst is a party that claims to be right-wing and isn't, and misleads people, and convinces them that it's right-wing to give up land, and it's right-wing to say Palestinians, and it's right-wing to say that 99% of the Arabs really love us. You know, those are very, very harmful. Those are harmful things. But right now, we're starting, just for the immediate future, we're going to be concentrating on Shas. We're aiming at Shas, because we, with the number of people we're reaching, I don't think we're reaching enough people to decide who the prime minister is going to be. But we are reaching enough people in a situation like Shas, where Shas is teetering between 4 and 5 Knesset seats. We could influence things when it comes to a smaller party like Shas, which has had a very destructive effect on the Jewish people over the years. Thank you, Tag Mechir Tzedek. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.